charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay for
well, welcome back to EcoTalk and Joni Mitchell using the power of words. So, wonderfully, I haven't heard from her in a few decades, but still that song resonates. Our next guest is an artist who uses his photographic eye to tell stories that we all need to be aware of. Chris Jordan is a photographer based in Seattle whose work is often, connected with issues of consumption and resource use and perhaps abuse. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Thank you, Betsy. I'm glad to be here.
You're working in a somewhat new field of photographic art, it seems. Your pictures, on the one hand, sort of have the stark realism of photography, but they also appear somewhat different from different angles. I guess that's the beauty of digital photography.
Well, it's something I'm really interested in, the idea that something looks like one thing when you stand back from a distance, and then as you get up close, you realize it's something else.
Much to your horror in some cases.
Yeah, well, you know, that was my own experience of coming to the issue of our consumerism. Because back when I was a corporate lawyer just a few years ago, I was pretty deeply in the trance myself. And what I thought about consumerism was that it looked pretty good, that it was about nice new stuff and having an affluent lifestyle and all of that. And as my own consciousness has kind of dropped into this issue, and as I learn more and more about it, I'm having the experience that it looks like something very different than what I used to think it was.
A different perspective.
I'm really interested in that as a metaphor in my work.
Fascinating. Did that lead you to leave your work in corporate law and take up photography full-time, or is this still a side project for you, a hobby of sorts?
Well, I had the good fortune of realizing, as I was about coming to the age of 40, I started to realize that I just wasn't living my life the way I wanted to, and so I just left. And it was a huge risk that I took at the time, and I'm quite astounded by how well my work has done since then.
Let's describe your work. I was a little bit wary, of course, doing a radio program, a radio interview on pictures that our listeners can't see, but of course they can, and you're going to tell them how they can do that. I'm sure they're on a website because I got wind of your great work through an email. So describe your work first. Radio is theater of the mind, something like that.
Okay, well, my photographs are about American consumer society. And what I do is I go out looking for these giant quantities of the things we consume. And so the way the project started is I would just drive around in places like industrial port facilities and rail yards and manufacturing facilities and take pictures of huge piles of shipping containers and yards filled with hundreds of truck chassis and that kind of thing. And more recently, I've gone looking for specific things like cell phones. And so I found a place in Atlanta that processes 50,000 cell phones a month. And so I went there, and we dumped out a huge number of them on the ground, and I made this giant photograph of an ocean of cell phones.
I just got a new one today because the Nokia I've been using, every time I drop it, and I'm a busy, active woman, you know, I got a life, so I drop it occasionally, the antenna falls out, and I've replaced it 3 times, and I hate doing that. You know, they don't make things to last.
Well, it's really interesting. You know, the flow of cell phones is just a fascinating issue, because they aren't made to last. And the reason they aren't made to last is because the technology improves so fast that even if they were made to last, they would still be obsolete within a short time.
And so with the accessories that go with them, you have to buy a whole new charger and a whole new earpiece when you get a new phone. Drives me nuts. And they do that that part of it, I think, is just about making money.
Yep. Well, it's funny that you mentioned cell phones, because just yesterday I completed a new image about cell phones. And this is a photograph that I compiled digitally from several thousand smaller photographs. And what it is, it's a 5x9 foot print that depicts 426,000 cell phones.
Wow.
And so even on the 5x9 foot print, each cell phone is infinitesimally tiny. And that is the number of cell phones that are retired in the United States every single day.
I love that commentary that goes along with it, just to put things in perspective. And so we don't get too hung up on phones. You also have pictures of bags and just all kinds of things that we use and throw away every day. And again, when you note at the bottom, you know, this is just one day's worth, it's shocking. I guess that's the point.
Yeah, well, and in some instances, like the I did one that shows 106,000 aluminum cans, which is the number of aluminum cans that are used in the United States every 30 seconds.
Was that the Syrup picture?
Yeah, I took the 106,000 cans and assembled them to look like a famous French painting.
That
so
was...
when you're standing back from a distance, it looks like this pointillist painting. And then when you walk up close, you realize it's made out of all of these Coke cans and Pepsi cans and Sprite cans.
It's brilliant, and you make your point. And when you zoom in, that's when you get to see it. So it really works well, actually, electronically. But I imagine the exhibits are someplace, I hope?
Well, I have shows of this new series coming up in several places. There's going to be one in New York in June and one in L.A. that I'm still working on scheduling. I'm really hoping to show the whole body of work in an art museum context as well.
Did you design them, though, with digital transmission in mind? Because, they just came into my inbox, but I was sufficiently moved.
Yeah, well, they're all up on my website, which, by the way, is just chrisjordan.com. And the problem with them is that it's a little bit like Google Earth, where
exactly.
When you're looking at a computer screen, you can either see the image of the entire thing, in which case you can't see any of the details, or you can zoom all the way in and see the individual details, in which case you would need a computer screen that's like 8 feet wide to be able to see the whole image. And when they're in their actual printed state, hanging on a wall, you do get to see the entire thing at once, but the prints are absolutely enormous.
And, you zoom in, you zoom out, and you get a different perspective. Tell us about your Katrina project.
Well, I went down to New Orleans about 10 weeks after the hurricane, so that was in November of 2005, and spent a month down there photographing the devastation of the hurricane. And it's a really hard experience to put in words. It was just so overwhelming on so many levels. It's a little bit like, when I was down there, I imagine that it's like the people who climb Mount Everest and they come home and they try to tell people what it was like, and there's just really no way to convey the experience.
Well, that's why photographs are so wonderful.
Yep.
And in a sometimes horrible way. What's been the response to your work, recent work?
Well, it's really amazing. I get at least 100 emails a day from people all over the world, and the work has been shown in magazines and newspapers and documentary films, and it's incredible to be having this kind of response to my work. And what I attribute it to is I believe that there's a kind of craving going on in American society right now. And the metaphor that I have in my mind for it, it's sort of like American society is a giant frat party. And we've all been drunk all night, and now it's like 4 in the morning, and we're just sick of it, and we're ready for some carrot juice and a run by the lake.
wake up and have a Bloody Mary.
Sorry, go ahead.
Wake up and have a non-alcoholic Bloody Mary anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I have a sense that people are ready to do something different. We're ready to evolve to a new level.
Well, because we've devolved. I mean, we've gotten just over the top in terms of overconsumption. If you just look at women's shoes, that's one of my interests, is just seeing how weird they are and ugly and over-decorated. And how did we get to this point? And you know that the end of society can't be too far off unless we, sort of downsize and simplify at some point. And then just look at the quality of television. I mean, so many aspects of our culture and nothing more than looking at our landfills say, you've gone over the top and it's enough already. So I like your metaphor, analogy, whatever, about the party's over, wake up and smell the carbon. Let's get back to basics.
Yep.
I mean, look
yeah,
at cli-
it's so
climate
sad,
change alone.
Because American culture has so many brilliant things to offer. And of all of the things that we could be exporting to the entire rest of the world, our consumerism is just so sad that that's the thing. That's what we're teaching a billion Chinese people how to do and a billion people in India. Of all of the fabulous things we could be exporting,
right. And then
it's frightening.
And then we're the three that don't want to sign on into anything like Kyoto Protocol, saying, we don't want to do it till they do it. They don't want to do it till we do it. And we're taking the whole planet down with us.
Yep.
Well, we have 1 minute left. Just would like some parting thoughts on your work and what it's meant to you and hopefully how viewers can connect.
Well, if there's any one message that I really wish I could convey to people, it's that to be a downshifter and to go green, you don't have to care about the environment, and you don't have to be a saint or an altruist. You can do it just because it's fun. The people who are downshifting and who are becoming better stewards of the world are actually having more fun.
That's absolutely true. I'll concur, because the environmental gatherings I go to, there's a great energy there. There's a sense of, you know, just being in touch with what we're here to really do, and a sense of having a common goal, which is to save ourselves. And if nothing else, that should rally the American public, right?
Yep.
Thanks so much, Chris Jordan. I highly recommend his work. We'll have a link on our website to his website. He's a photographer with a point of view that needs to be told. We'll be back right after these messages with more.